outside, or are you worried about betrayal from within? Welcome to the broadcast. Sheriff Mac with me. Welcome, sir. What do you think of that question?
That's a big one, Sam. Good morning to you, and good morning to everybody today. Thank you for being here this great and beautiful Tuesday morning. A great day to stand for liberty. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being a part of the Sheriff Mac Show. And thanks
now,
to you,
Sam, for leading
the way.
One of the good news pieces is while we watch out for the terrorists and watch out for the infiltration from within, et cetera, you do have some warning words from the great Antonin Scalia in your Supreme Court case, the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered, that might highlight a focus here, right?
Absolutely. Sam, this is again, from the Mac Prince lawsuit, the only time in history when sheriffs sued the federal government and won. Get this. We haven't really discussed this part of the decision very much. Quoting Justice Antonin Scalia, the United States Supreme Court, June 27, 1997. The great innovation of this design, in other words, the design of our constitutional republic, our constitutional government, the great innovation of this design was that our citizens would have two political capacities, one state and one federal, each protected from incursion by the other. Each protected from incursion by the other. A legal system unprecedented in form and design, establishing two orders of government, each within its own direct relationship, its own set of mutual rights and obligations to the people who sustain it and are governed by it. The Constitution thus contemplates that a state's government will represent and remain accountable to its own citizens. So, Sam, we find out that the great check and balance is that there's two political capacities, and that the state is required to protect its citizens from the incursions of the federal government, just as the federal government is required to protect the citizens from the incursions of the state government. Because what is ultimate? Liberty is the ultimate goal. And that's what we're after. And so if the federal government is doing something wrong, like dealing with Chinese, then the states have every obligation to move in and correct it.
They need to move in, correct it. They need to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. That's what we absolutely aim for. With us today, Greg Phillips. And Greg has been a conservative politics leader for literally 40 years, folks, working with committees, parties, campaigns, and ultimately election intelligence operations and election integrity, if you will. He's been involved with Catherine at TrueTheVote.org and more. Welcome back to the Sheriff Mac Show, Greg.
Man, guys, thanks so much for having me. It's great to see you. Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Thank you. Let's start this off by saying, you know what? You guys really broke the communist Chinese in elections discussions with a Connex reality check. People didn't believe it was true. Then L.A. busted out with their evidence showing it was true. They backed away because they weren't ready for the complications related there, too. You've been attacked relentlessly ever since, thrown in jail. Thank the Lord you've been released. But give us a quick update on Connect and where we are with those thugs, where L.A. is, where you are with your lawsuits, etc., because they came back and sued you saying, what, you can't say this stuff? What's the core? And give me the breakdown.
You know, it's really a difficult situation for me to sort of even contemplate, let alone talk about. I mean, the frustrations that we have around all of this are enormous. I first learned of this in some researchers were involved in really taking apart the inner workings of all the connections between all the softwares and all the different companies around. And in so doing, they used a product called Binary Edge. And what Binary Edge does, you can go, anyone could subscribe to it. In essence, what it does is if you have an IP address or if you have a URL, like truethevote.org, you can go in and type truethevote.org and find out where that IP address lives, or excuse me, what IP address is assigned to it, but also where it lives. It will, depending on your structure of your company and your software that underlies it, you'll show different ports that are open, meaning like port, you know, 484 might be a database port, or different ports have different things that they do, and allow different data in, and so on and so forth. But all of this is visible from Binary Edge. And so when you go to a normal URL, say a Facebook or something like that, it's very clean. You know, it resolves in the United States, because that's the other thing it does, is it shows you where this server lives, the server and this IP address live. And going through everything, and all of the different softwares, pulled up Binary Edge, and there was one particular piece of software called PoleChief. Catherine had long said that, you know, we really need to be looking into these free or near free softwares that are running elections. And so we were doing that. We were going through and we were looking free and near free software, of which Binary Edge pointed out that PoleChief was something that really, really, really needed to be looked at. I was called to a meeting in Dallas in January of 2021, not just shown the results from Binary Edge, but as we dug deeper and deeper into the various pieces of what was uncovered by Binary Edge, we realized suddenly that not only was this IP address, meaning this URL, resolving to a name server in China, but the server itself had a port open for their database. And it was a type of database that, while it's very robust, very capable, also, if not properly configured, can be porous, meaning open to the public. And the analysts that were walking me through the case began over across a period of time, I think 4 or 5 hours in the middle of the night at this hotel room in Dallas, showing me on the big screen TV up on the wall that not only was there data there, but it was data from the elections, from PoleChief. It had, I was able to see approximately 96,000 names from poll worker names, poll manager names, that kind of thing, just in LA County. But as we went further into it, there were a lot of other counties, a lot of other poll workers, a lot of other poll managers, but it also had inside of it the schematics of the buildings. In a couple of cases, it had the, on the same server, had the ballot the bundles of ballots and their serial numbers. It had the machines that were there, like in Pittsburgh or in Allegheny County, it showed the ES&S machines as well as the serial numbers that go with the machines. So really, it was tailor-made for really, really, if you were going to cheat somebody or you were going to cheat an election, this really had all of the elements and all of the tool set that one would need to actually cheat. In a couple of cases, we found that there were actual connections to the state's voting record. So I'll just use Allegheny County again, since I was talking about it. The PoleChief connections were directly to the entire Pennsylvania voting records, yeah, all of them. And you think about that and you sort of contemplate, yeah, well, so what? Well, it's a lot more than so what, because we all know what happened after that. And so we dug and dug and dug. Spent the entire night going through it all. I left, hardly even slept that night, or maybe didn't sleep, don't really recall. Drove down to Houston, got Catherine to meet me, and we spent the next few hours trying to decide what we were going to do. What we decided to do, because this had national security implications, because there was PII stored in foreign servers, and that all of this information really pointed to a crime of some epic proportion, include violations of the National Security Act, violation of, you remember Obama made elections critical infrastructure. So this was actually three or four separate violations of the critical infrastructure rules and laws that DHS was supposed to be implementing. So what we decided to do was to take all of the information that we had and take it to the FBI. So we did. We set up a meeting with the FBI. The intelligence community division at the FBI is made up of men and women that are their job is to surface data that may be needed by other elements of the intelligence community. So there's 17 different agencies that are part of the intelligence community in the United States. You know, the Department of Defense, DHS, the FBI, et cetera, and it goes on and on. So we took this to the intelligence community representatives at the FBI, gave it to them. A month or two later, we get a call from the counterintelligence division at the FBI wanting to have some conversation about all of this. At that point, they had already procured the data themselves from another source. So they had what we had. And for the next 15 months or so, we worked with the FBI and the counterintelligence division of the FBI on trying to uncover more information. We shared information about different companies that were set up.
But at the end of the day, Greg, they
China.
Just used you guys, and they basically betrayed you, siding with the communist Chinese and the United States leaders who probably knew about this from the beginning and didn't care. Their goal was to vet all that you knew and then eventually prosecute you, right?
Yeah. And so we got a call. Catherine got a call about mid-April of 2022 saying, hey, we tried to take this to the all this information had been gathered over 15 months with these counterintelligence operators from the Bureau. Took it to D.C. to some people, you know, higher ups at DOJ or in the FBI, I'm not sure which. And they basically were told to go advise Connick that we had infiltrated their system and that we had stolen three servers from the Chinese internet. To which I laughed and said, but that's not how you do the internet. I mean, so what the internet is, you can't steal the Chinese internet. But they were serious about it and ended up telling Catherine that we needed to press the nuclear button. And what that was the pit. So we had this meeting called the pit. We got a whole 180 researchers from around America together and said, here's what we have. Go find what you can find. And dutifully you know, for the sake of freedom in the country, quite a number of these people really dug in and really found some really, really, really fascinating and interesting information that went beyond even what we had been involved with and that we knew about. We then took that data you know, really at that point, I mean, it was public, but we had a great deal of information. The LA County DA's office got involved. Communicated with us, and I was asked to come out to LA to speak to the grand jury that was soon to indict Connick, which they did. A day or two before that, Connick threw together a federal lawsuit, a defamation lawsuit, accusing us of hacking their U.S. systems and then having, you know, taking illegal control over private identifying information or something. I can't remember, but in any case, and that's what ended up putting us in jail, that suit. So they asked for an ex parte TRO. We didn't know anything about it. I was actually out in California when we were notified of the TRO, an ex parte TRO. And we went back and forth. And what they really
wanted. By the way,
wanted,
it's personable, they said they, personal identifiable information, PII.
There you go. Yeah, I knew I'd get it. You'd get it right for me, Sam. Thank you. and so while I'm out testifying in a grand jury about Eugene Yu and about Connick in the fall of last year, they were filing a defamation suit against me and Catherine for the same stuff, lying about it. And so they got this ex parte TRO done. We didn't know anything about it until we were served the day. In fact, the day I was testifying, we, our lawyers were served with this. And the judge just, he wasn't going to have it. He got us in there and he ordered me specifically to give the name of the two people that were in the room that night when I learned about all of this. And because of who they were, and they were confidential informants for the Bureau themselves, I flat out refused to give it to them. They just didn't need it. It was irrelevant. They didn't have the data. The FBI had all the data that they had. It was downloaded by them and given to the Bureau.
Well, and this just smacks of more evidence that their intent is not to support the truth and expose the fraud and criminal activity. Their goal is to literally use that then to create gag orders, shut everybody down, put fear and intimidation into everyone involved, and shut the whole discussion down, right?
Yeah, while I was out of town, the judge got our lawyers into the courtroom, and one of the names, it's a little confusing, but one of the names was given to the judge under seal, said, hey, this is a confidential informant for the Bureau. You know, we don't have any authority to give this name up. And so we gave it to him under seal. Well, our lawyers get in there and you know, I had never even thought that this could possibly happen. And the judge ordered this one particular individual's name to be read out loud and ordered our lawyers to do it. And they said, but judge, we gave it to you under seal. He said he didn't care. And so they read this person's name. This is a man with a wife, a young child, and literally are still in hiding. These people are still in hiding. So by the time it came around to Catherine and I on the stand during the TRO hearing, and again, we hadn't had an evidentiary hearing yet. By the time we got into that courtroom, the judge said, you're going to give me that other name. And remember, he had already forced the first person's name to be read by our attorneys. He said, you're going to give me that name. And I said, no, sir, I'm not. And he said, well, then I'm going to find you in contempt of court and put you both in jail. And you know, I'm like, wait, Catherine's is hearsay at best, right? I mean, she wasn't even in the meeting. She knew from me who might have been in there, but you know, she didn't have any direct knowledge of who was in there. And, so that following morning on Halloween morning, cuffed and chains around our waist, chains around our ankles. I was strip searched. We were transported to a medium security prison that is contracted for by ICE, by DHS for all of the gangs and bad guys.
So think about this, ladies and gentlemen. The government is literally throwing Greg and Catherine in jail for discovering that the communist Chinese are involved in our elections with evidence and proof via technical details and data. The government literally works with Greg and Catherine for 15 plus months, then betrays them, turns on them, literally then throws them in jail, folks.
And arrested. And meanwhile, Sam, Eugene Yu himself was arrested. The Los Angeles County DA got a true bill on the indictment. And went up to Michigan, arrested the guy on his way to the airport, extradited him on his way to the airport, by the way, without his phone and without his bags or anything. He was just leaving. He says he was coming to Houston to testify in our case, but, you know, who knows?
Yes, he was right on to Houston, yeah. A.K.A. China. The second flight didn't make it, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, they have layovers and, well, boy, howdy, right?
And so... So they took him out to L.A., but they also had 20 or so different officers from both the LADA's office and their investigators, as well as some folks from Michigan. And they confiscated, I think, I can't even remember the number, it's something like 200 different disks and storage disks of some type, took it out to L.A., put it into an evidence locker. And L.A. has a little bit, this is where it got a little confusing. L.A. has a little bit of a quirk. Or California does, that if you have that much evidence, you have to have been through it all. You have to have opened it all up. And remember, there's passwords, there's all kinds of other things on this stuff before you can press forward with a trial. So what the judge did was he dismissed that particular indictment but continued to work with the LADA's office and other technologists to try to get all this data opened up. They ended up pricing the cost of doing it at, I don't know, $100,000 or $300,000 or something. And the state and the county of LA said they didn't have the money. So, you know, if they were a state, they'd have the 10th largest budget in America, but they didn't have the money for,
yeah, they spend more money on their Christmas party, people.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, the good news is the judge seems, I mean, he's pushed off this hearing again and again and again. In fact, I think there's another one tomorrow. He's pushed off this hearing again and again and again, but here's the truth. What's in that evidence locker is exculpatory to us. It's the proof of every single thing that we've said, and every single thing that we've said is 100% accurate, 100% true. Meanwhile, back in Houston, there's a big dust up over whether we get to look at what's in that evidence locker as well. And the judge ordered that we had the right to review what was in that evidence locker. So there's a big bunch going on back and forth between that. But better than that, there were two filings made by us. There was a former employee in Australia, a former employee in Michigan, who both, in their own words, said that all of this data, all of the programmers, all of it was in China. They named Eugene Yu's nephew, they named Eugene Yu's brother as being the kind of the masterminds on the Chinese side. So all of the data and all of the things that we've said, Sam and Sheriff Mack, are 100% true. There's evidence of it, and there is now testimony, sworn testimony, that it's factual.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted the story to be told concisely, the whole story, because we've always got bits and pieces. Now you get it all. Greg Phillips with us, the good sheriff, and Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Sheriff Mack Show.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency. Which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the Bivy Stick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the Bivy Stick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 Bivy Sticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
All right, back with you live on the Sheriff Mac Show. Greg Phillips with us, truthofvote.org, ladies and gentlemen. So their Connick's story has become real in multiple ways. Lawsuits are flying left and right, to say the least. Greg, I got a couple of quick questions for you to wrap this section up, and then I want to move to greater discoveries that we've found since we last talked. Really quick then, with your lawsuits then, is LA just there to bottle it up and make sure that nobody gets the information, or are they for real?
We think they're for real. Now, there's obviously some political challenges. Our experience with their investigators and our experience with their, I'll call them the assistant DAs. I don't know what their exact titles are, but these people were legit. They came to us. They pursued it. They investigated it. They went up there. They confiscated the information. Our understanding is there's a lot of political, you know, things going on back and forth.
But I think Connick's and UGU and others have authority over them to where they'll just be shut down even at the local level? Because this goes all the way up to the FBI, to the Communist Chinese Party, right?
Well, the good news is we have the judge, the original judge that threw us in jail in Houston, we asked for him to recuse himself, and he ultimately did. So there is a federal judge in Houston that now has control of our defamation case. And we have enormous confidence that this judge is going to be fair. We don't feel like we were being treated fairly previously, but now that we have this judge, we think we have a good fair shot and a good opportunity. And because this is in federal court, even though this isn't a criminal court, you know, there's a lot of opportunities here now to take a look at all of that data. And he's made the order to preserve and the order for us to have an opportunity to review before they do, even if LA does give it back to Eugene Yu. Look, they have so much data out there. If there is justice in California and in LA County, he'll go to jail for this. There's no.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Discovery is the quintessential reality here. How much will we get in discovery? How much information will come out versus be gagged, etc.? Truthofvote.org at the center of it all. Speaking of people at the center of it all, by the way, Joe Hoft, thegatewaypundit.com, and others have been doing some tremendous research as well. Remember, they unleashed the diggers. I don't know if you want to call that Kraken, but there you go. A new election system is discovered. It's used in multiple states. It's internet connected. It's uncertified. It's accessible to numerous government agencies and outside entities. Okay, it's called BPro. And according to the BPro website, it's called Total Vote. It's a centralized voter registration and election management system that securely, quote, captures and manages voter, candidate, and all election information. It is the only software system that encompasses the entire election process into one single system. Okay? They discovered that New Mexico, now New Mexico officials and Hawaiian officials are working on this, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't comply with election laws. And I guess it's in all 33 New Mexico counties, and now it's in multiple states. The Gateway Pundit highlights now that BPro's Total Vote system, used in multiple states now in the U.S., allows the installation of plugins, if you will. That's software that can just kind of be installed in addition to the core. But plugins can be now used to manipulate election data. Joe Kovacs with more on this. The question is, are these parallel reality investigations now, Greg?
Well, as I started this earlier, there are dozens of free or near free softwares that are involved in America's systems. I mean, there's something called Vote Shield, for example. Vote Shield is designed to, ironically, to help keep the voter rolls, you know, free, clean, and safe. It was developed by Facebook's people. and given out through, guess who, CTCL, to these various states. It's interesting when they advertised, or they may have taken it down by now, but they used to advertise that they were in all sorts of states, like Texas and others. And when we contacted the Texas Secretary of State, they disavowed any knowledge of Vote Shield, which brings up a whole nother topic. So what's happening to all of these softwares that are being given away and not really monitored, certified, or anything else? That said, we know through our work on Conic that there are lots of other connections to lots of other types of softwares, including that one. But there are others, some really well-known softwares. There's some connections to a software over in Spain, and the person running, who is Conic CTO, was at minimum a former employee of this particular software, and they had handshake agreements behind the scenes with no password handshakes, where they could hand information from one to the other. So we're still working on uncovering some of these things, and you know, whether it's now, China now,
Greg,
or Spain.
Let me interrupt real quick. Remind the people exactly who and what Conic is. I think we passed over.
Conic is
too late.
Yeah, we did, and I do that so often. Thank you, Sheriff Matt.
Yeah,
Conic is a Michigan-based company in a little town called Okinos, Michigan. It's adjacent or near East Lansing. They had offices both adjacent to Michigan State, as well as several other offices out a little bit further away from town. It is run by one person, a former Chinese national, now a naturalized U.S. citizen, a guy named Eugene Yu. Eugene Yu's, that's not his real name, but it's Jin Hua, I think, is his real first name. Eugene's his Americanized name. But Eugene's family they're all from China. His wife and others, his brother still lives there. His nephew still lives there. He's got all of his people still live there. And furthermore, I think what's most important is that they don't just run software in the United States. And this is critically important. On the same server that we identified that night in that hotel room in Dallas, the same exact server, the same IP address, the main CCP elections are run from that server. So the same systems that are running in Detroit and running in LA and running in communities and counties all over America are also running the Chinese elections. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of websites and posts where Eugene Yu pledges his undying loyalty to the party. And it's, as they say in China, it's party first, meaning the Red Chinese first, the sure. CCP first. And it's really startling as you get into it, you start reading, you know, all of the things that we've been so stupid and so lax. Sheriff, one of the things, I always forget this, but it's one of the most startling things of all. When they came to America, they came to America with a system. It wasn't even Eugene Yu. It was another character, another Chinese guy. They came to America with systems that run K-12 software. They have systems that run the UOCAVA, the military voting. They had one of their first big contracts they received back in the early 2010s was a massive contract for the Department of Defense to do military UOCAVA voting. How could this be? Think about it. Our guys are fighting the bad guys in caves and are going and voting, and it's being routed through China. What? This doesn't even make sense. How could this even be? And this company's been allowed to infiltrate governments and election systems all over America. I think LA County is the biggest voting block in America. And Conic runs it, and all of that data is stored in China. It's unbelievable.
Now, the parallel system is called D-Pro, ladies and gentlemen, and it's supposed to be a U.S. company as well, but I'm not so sure that we know that either, Greg. B-Pro, according to their website, they make you believe it's an American company, but we got to dig in and find out about this.
Well, that's just the point, right? I mean, you know, the reason we have six lawsuits against us right now, six. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to bankrupt us. It's a race against time and us. As we continue to find things and as we continue to uncover, and now we've uncovered what they were doing in Australia and Queensland. Now we've uncovered what they're doing in Canada. Now we've uncovered what they're doing in jurisdictions all over America. This is a race against time. They're trying to bankrupt us. They're trying to keep us from exposing anything else. This is going to blow the entire sort of software thing up, not because they're involved in all of it, but because this model, like with this new company, with other companies that are involved here, and what's this about Vote Shield? Don't we all deserve to know more about a software that's been given to states to take care of their voter rolls? And then when states are firing Eric, which is another one of the companies, the states are firing them, but they're hiring Salesforce. Well, Salesforce.com and the CEO of Salesforce is a communist. I mean, he supports
no
all
question.
Manner of things. I mean,
no
so
question.
Go,
so here's the detail on this D-Pro.
Deep down, don't you want to go to court with Connick though and prove where you got all your evidence? Them suing you actually opens the door for you and Catherine, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, they're suing us about the movie now. They're suing us about
if the judges
Stacey
are
Abrams
honest
and
if
Mark
you get
Elias
real discovery, I agree. Greg, if the judges are honest and if you get real discovery, I agree.
Yeah, discovery's our friend, guys. I mean, we're comfortable in as uncomfortable as it was for us in going to jail. It in some ways opened the doors to the possibility that maybe there will be real discovery under the civil rules of evidence in federal court that give us an opportunity to expose all of this and blow this up once and for all. But I think Sam, you made a really good point. America deserves to know whatever software it is that's running all of these things, right? I mean, we know
absolutely.
That there are all sorts of connections. There are all sorts of softwares, all sorts of connections, all sorts of plugins, all sorts of, you know, these handshake, no password agreements between different systems. And if that's true, or if it's not true, America deserves to know. We
yes, but it's true. So listen to this, though. This South Dakota company called B-Pro gifted their Total Vote software to the state of New Mexico in exchange for a series of what would turn out to be very lucrative sole source contracts. Now, that's interesting wording, sole source. There's nobody else even to bid on these things. Sole source contracts to develop a, quote, customized interface between they call them SOS clerks, and Total Vote that they call Iris. And Iris runs the service for statewide elections and the voter integrity system back in 2017. This proves what you're saying. They literally give the software away, but on the back end, they make a ton of money. Meanwhile, they literally take over elections and guarantee they're not secure, Greg.
You know, it's truly unbelievable. I'll add another little tidbit of info to this conversation. On October 13th of 2020, during the election and during early voting, Eugene Yu and Connick received two that we know of, one in Detroit and one in Los Angeles, total of about $2.5 million, 3 weeks before the election, during early voting. One of the contracts, at least one of the two, I can't remember if the other one does or not, had something in there for early ballot or fast ballot counting software. Like what is that? And how can you couldn't install Microsoft Word on a computer in a state during an election and have it be legal. But yet they're installing counting software to speed up the process. during the election. Oh, and guess where the money came from? Guess where the $2.5 million came from? Zuckerberg, CTCL. So Zuckerberg gives the money. Zuckerberg gives the money to the state or to the county. The county gives it to Eugene Yu. And what happened to it? Was the software ever implemented? They say in one of our cases that they don't even know what fast ballot counting software is. So what'd they get paid $2.5 million for during the election?
Well, why do you need to know what it is to spend money on it and convert pervert elections? You don't need to know what it is, Greg.
Yeah, well, yeah, silly me, right?
We don't even know what the word is, do we?
Yeah, America deserves to know, man. I mean, it's an imperative that America understand this.
Here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen.
We know what's happening.
Americans must demand that their election data be held entirely within their counties as the law requires. The only way to get that done with certainty, you'll never have 100% certainty, but the best certainty we can get is paper ballots, Greg.
I'm with you. Look, I mean, I hate to even admit it, but let's, you know, until we get this thing figured out, we need to go back to paper ballots, one day of voting. I don't care if they make it a national holiday. Let people go vote. Anybody that wants to go vote can go vote on election day in person. You know, we make accommodations for, you know, for the infirmed or the you know, seriously disabled who can't travel.
Absolutely.
And we make all those accommodations. We're ensuring that, you know, the disabled people and elderly are able to vote, and there are no troubles with that. We're ensuring that military ballots are collected and counted and appropriately made part of the system, and we do it on time. But for the vast majority of all ballots cast, people should be going down and go old school with this. We'd be able to do this just like, you know, all the places like France, right? I mean, they're having a revolution over there, and they can figure out how to do an election and get it all counted up and done, you know, by 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, it takes us, you know, 6 weeks with a bunch of computers and a bunch of lies and a bunch of nonsense being told. Stop all this mass mail-in voting. Stop it. Clean up the voter rolls, vote on one day, everybody gets off, everybody gets to go vote. We, you know, man, in places like Mexico, I mean, one would think, oh, Mexico, I mean, you know, who does know, right? I mean, they probably have their own problems. But in Mexico, it's considered an honor to work in the polls, and people are selected to work in the polls by lottery. Here in America, we have to beg conservatives and people on our side to go out and work in the polls. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that have to happen, but you set up a single day voting in person with paper and then have, you know, bipartisan teams, you know, watching this and counting. I'm talking about old school stuff like it was back when I was younger, and everything will be fine. We got to get these voter rolls clean, though. We got to stop using these nonsense softwares that are being given away. We've got to get the CCP out of our elections. We've got to get foreign entities in aggregate out of our elections. Whether they're our enemies or not is, you know, in my view, irrelevant. We've got to get foreign governments out of these elections. And
I agree, Greg, but the foreign governments have infiltrated every single aspect of our society, from your grade schools to your government offices to elections. We'll talk about this next hour, Sheriff, but they've infiltrated everything.
Yeah, they have. And Greg, the information that you've got is so humongous. I mean, really, I think you told us in one meeting, why don't you tell all the viewers how much evidence you really have about all of this? How much does it fill in megabytes?
Well, okay. So we have close to a petabyte of data, which is, 1,000 terabytes. And it's just a tremendous amount of data. I mean, sometimes when I think about it, I mean, I'm old enough to remember, you know, you get a 256K gateway computer and you were pretty happy with it, right? And these days it's like, you know, you can put, I have 100 terabytes worth of disks in my briefcase that I carry around with me full of information, 100 terabytes. And
I remember when they used to tell us, you'll never need more than 64K, you know?
Right, exactly right. You know, it used to be a terabyte when I first I was working for the governor of Mississippi, and we had this giant system, right? And it was this huge lifted floor system that held 5 terabytes of information, and I look at it now. You know, I've got that in a half a disk in my backpack, you know, it's just amazing amount how much is there, but it's an incredible amount of information. We still have all the video. We still have, you know, a chasm of information and data. We're pushing it out. We're pushing it out little by little. We're about to relaunch a site that we ran a beta on called Open Inc., open.ink, that people can go in, and we're going to load everything up. We're going to create a searchable engine. We have created it. We're just cleaning it up right now, where people can go in and look for all sorts of information, Sheriff, from your case, from, you know, interesting cases about conservatives that are hard to find. There are election integrity cases that you try to search on Hooper v. Alabama, which was a case that I was involved in back years ago. And we were looking for it because it was salient. The Supreme Court ruled that whatever the law is on election day is the law. And if it requires signatures, signatures are required. That's just the way it is. Whether you like it or not, or lawyers like it or not, it doesn't matter. We went looking for this. I was involved in this case. Judge Hooper was my mentor. And we went looking for all the info and couldn't find it. And you can't find it on Google. You have to go and dig and dig and dig and find it in hard copies. We're going to scan all that type of data and otherwise procure it and move it up onto Open Inc. So we're trying to create some transparent mechanisms to open the doors to Americans, allow people to just go in at their own leisure and search and find the data they need to support their opinions.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know you feel like we're doing nothing regarding this, but we're doing everything we can. It's just so mammoth and so difficult to get information. Money is key. Time is key. There's only a few of us that have the guts to really get after it. Thanks, Greg Phillips. TrueTheVote.org. God save the Republic.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, man, Greg Phillips, great guest, doing a phenomenal job, truthofvote.org. Folks, I know it feels like we're not getting a lot done on this election stuff, and I know it feels like, hey, man, we're just spinning our wheels, and you guys announced back in July you're really going to get something done, and, man, nothing's been happening. My response to that is it isn't true. A lot's been happening. It's very slow. Funding is a premium. We need funding to really work on more of this. Staff is really in question. We just need more people, more hands, more time, more money. Remember, we're up against the communist Chinese and your government, FBI, and Justice Department people. Okay, but now there's an election system discovered in New Mexico and Hawaii and in multiple states. It's called B-Pro is the company. And according to their website, Total Vote is basically an end-to-end voting system that controls everything. Well, election experts in New Mexico now have discovered that the system is all tied together. And this Pro or B-Pro company gifted their software to the state of New Mexico in exchange for a series of seriously lucrative contracts, millions of dollars. And the bottom line is this B-Pro, it's called the service program, is internet connected, uncertified, and accessible by literally all county clerks, the SOS office, the Department of Motor Vehicles, and potentially others such as Eric. That's according to the B-Pro contracts that have been reviewed. B-Pro's Total Vote software allows the installation of plugins that let you backdate election data, Sheriff. Election experts in Hawaii now have discovered they can backdate election records. That's not all it can do. But think about that, Sheriff Mack. What on earth? This information Greg and those guys have opened, this can, if you will, has multiple. How come no one's talking about B-Pro software but the Gateway Pundit and us? Nobody that I know of.
Yeah, Sam, that's right. And right now we're CSPOA, you, me, and CSPOA are partnering with True the Vote, trying to get this information out to everybody, writing a book, a manual, if you will, explaining all of this. So people who aren't computer experts like myself can still get involved and sheriffs can start investigating all of this. It's so widespread. I want to say that word, the new word, you know, for the last couple of years anyway, ubiquitous. It is so humongous and saturated with all this. The information that Catherine and Greg specifically have gathered, you know, fills thousands and thousands of megabytes. And they can bring it down and focus to one little thing. And that's why I was enthralled with everything Greg had to say today. The work that they've done, the risk they have taken, their personal lives and personal well-being has been put out there. And it's, the risk they're taking and the courage they're showing has been amazing. And this Sam is has got to stop, and the propaganda machine behind it to support it, with people saying that it's such a lie, and the election deniers, you know, the conspiracy theories. Look at the evidence, and you'll find out right, it is not a theory.
Let me give you this evidence. If you go to bpro.com, ladies and gentlemen, that's the letter B as in Bravo, pro.com. You can learn about their Total Vote software. This company has been in existence since 1985. And they say they encompass the entire election system process into one system, and they have on-premise and cloud-based offerings. Yeah, just think about having that. You know, you can get your software as a service. You can have your voting in the cloud, Sheriff. And it's not internet-connected, remember?
The stupidity of these people is astonishing.
Yeah, all methods of online and offline voter registration. They support all methods. They're not connected to the internet, they lie. But now they literally advertise, hey, we've got cloud systems. Our Total Vote software supports online and offline. Wow, campaign finance and everything. Total Vote Solutions, baby. It's nuts. God save the Republic.